You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
We're ready to go on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Right here on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM, both in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment. Andrew on the other side of the glass. And the most important component, you out there, our listener. We welcome you into the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Got a great show coming up today. Going to talk Major League Baseball and baseball in general. Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer, former major league coach, will join us, and we will talk with him in about 24 minutes or so. Plenty to discuss as we are now a month into the baseball season, and just about a month into the baseball season. So some trends that have developed, and you're starting to see some things happen. So we will talk about all that with Cal coming up in just a little bit. News out of Iowa City today on the college football front. And we will talk about that particular position on the Iowa football team. And what is the latest as far as the transfer portal is concerned. We'll do that on the program here today as well. 319-366-1600 is the way to contact us on the text line. As a phone line as well, if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also the same digits, 319-366-1600. We'll get you an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update coming up at the bottom of the hour, brought to you by Emels on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit as well. And Mark joins me on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. Another sunny and windy. When did it turn windy every day in Eastern Iowa? It's been that way for about a year now. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. If we have to deal with it, may the wind be at your back.
There you go. But it's not always at your back. Andrew's shaking his head. It's never always at your back.
Not my luck. It's usually facing me.
Yeah, well, it's about a two-clubber today. About a two-club wind out there today. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. News coming out just past 9 o'clock this morning. Mark, I don't know if it is expected or not, speculation on it, but it finally comes to a reality as the man himself put out a statement, as just about everyone does, entering the transfer portal. Deacon Hill, the off-maligned quarterback, backup quarterback, became the first-string quarterback after the Cade McNamara injury last year for the University of Iowa football team. If you have not heard, is now entered the transfer portal, and he is going to play elsewhere for the final couple of seasons of eligibility that he has remaining in college football. Surprised or not surprised, Mark?
Not surprised at all. We talked about this on the show yesterday, and I even made the point it's time to have a sit down with Deacon Hill. The puzzling thing is, why was he able to take, is this sudden? Why did he take all the first string snaps in the spring game when he wasn't going to be in the mix at quarterback? Maybe it was sudden. But I would say about Hill, I think it's a good move for him. It's a good move for Iowa football. Everyone who covered him on a regular basis said, Hill was an upstanding guy. He was accountable, available, respectful, even through the toughest of times. And that's saying something about an individual, because it was tough sledding for Deacon Hill. He only had a couple of really solid games. The Rutgers game was probably his best game last year. But five TDs, eight interceptions, and less than a 48% completion percentage last year. Not good. And you couple that with the fact, does he fit into the new offense?
All those questions out there, I think, Mark. And first and foremost, and that includes the question that David and Hudson on the text line asks, has to be a surprise, because why would you give him all the first team reps in the spring if you knew he was going to go into the transfer portal? Now, I don't think he got all of them. I mean, being there on Saturday, he shared time with Lainez, but it was Deacon Hill who was out there leading the offense first in the 7-on-7 drills and the 11-on-11 drills. So I guess you could say that he was the number one quarterback, at least in the spring, with Cade McNamara on the sidelines in street clothes. But I think it's a viable question at this point. And maybe it was the evaluation period through the spring football campaign. And perhaps that is what Kirk Ferentz and Tim Lester and others, they got through, took a look at the 15 practices, evaluated everything, maybe brought Deacon Hill in. I don't know. We probably never will know unless Deacon Hill tells us, because obviously Coach Ferentz and Coach Lester are not going to say anything on how it went down. Maybe they brought him in and said, hey, here's the situation. We're going to go with Lainez as the number two. And if you want to head into the transfer portal, we will back you 100%. Not sure we'll ever know that, Mark, but it is a little bit of a head scratcher.
Well, yeah, I don't think we'll ever determine or hear how it went down, whether Deacon Hill went through spring ball, went through the public availability practice on Saturday and said, you know what, I'm not cutting it, or the coaches sat down with him and said the same thing. Regardless, he's not in the mix of quarterback anymore. Now it's Cade McNamara and Marco Lainez, Tommy Paholski, and incoming a freshman James Reeser. I think I was in a bit of a jam at quarterback because McNamara's health is uncertain. I think Lainez can do some things within this offense that would be productive. Beyond that, I don't think there's the experience, certainly for somebody to come in the game and produce. I looked at the portal today, and there's probably three dozen quarterbacks available in the portal, but probably a good two dozen have already been claimed by another school. You would presume those are the best quarterbacks out there, or the ones that fit the best. And beyond that, another part of this is the sixth quarterback that has transferred out of the Iowa program since 2021. Granted, none of the other five really distinguished themselves at other schools, at least not yet. But Carson Mays on his fourth school, having started at Iowa. And wide receivers, much the same. We heard Scott Dockerman tell us last week, I think he said 8 or 10 wide receivers have left the program in the same amount of time. That tells me either recruiting is lacking or the offense wasn't attractive to recruits, one of the two.
And now we will see if the new offense, albeit 80 to 85% of it being installed so far under Tim Lester, we will see if the fact that Lester, former head football coach, former consultant, if you will, with the Green Bay Packers, is that going to be enough to bring some people in? 319-366-1600. Leo in Iowa City, one of the folks weighing in here today. There is a recently portal entered Northwestern quarterback. That is the case. Northwestern had their quarterback go into the portal earlier on today. I'm not sure he is looking to be a backup, but we will see on that. And Matt and David both talking about the developmental process as far as the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, speaking volumes to the lack of development among the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. And that had to be addressed. It was addressed finally, whether it's Beth Getz going in there and getting everything finally put away, or the Iowa football team being told to make a change as far as the offensive coordinatorship is concerned. And I guess, and that's one of those things we'll probably never know how that all came about. But at any rate, you've got four quarterbacks now for Iowa. Do the Hawks need another quarterback out there, everyone? 319-366-1600. You mentioned right now, Mark, you've got Cade McNamara, who is a fifth-year grad. This is it for him. Marco Linez, Tommy Pajolski Jr., and then James Reeser coming in. Linez, a redshirt freshman. Pajolski is a redshirt freshman and a true freshman for Reeser. So there's a three-year gap between classes as far as those. You mentioned all the quarterbacks that left, Mark. That left a three-year wide gap as far as the classes are concerned in the Iowa quarterback hierarchy right now.
Yeah, that's where we're at. And everybody, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people assume because Cade McNamara went to Michigan, led Michigan to the Big Ten championship, was eventually beaten out by J.J. McCarthy. There's an assumption because of that track record that he's going to be really good. And he may be. But in addition to the injuries, we don't know how effective and how good Caden McNamara is going to be. Thus, really, the worrisome part about it is that if he does not complete the whole season, where does Iowa turn then? Now, it's not like Kirk Ferentz has not had solid quarterbacks. C.J. Beathard, probably the most recent. He in a battle with Jake Rudock, who ended up in Michigan. There's been Drew Tate and Stansy and Stanley. So Iowa has not been without a good quality quarterback. But right now, it's very uneven, kind of rough waters. And as far as the wide receivers go, I think that group has been even more impacted by the offense that has been stagnant in recent years. I mean, Keegan Johnson left. He's at Kansas State now. He's probably going to be productive. Arlen Bruce the fourth looked to be, maybe Iowa's top receiver this year and in the coming years. Oklahoma State has him now, and he could very well produce there. So other teams believe these guys are talented, but those same guys believe that Iowa was not the answer for them.
319-366-1600. And by the way, we will get here in a couple minutes to huge, huge portal basketball news in the state of Iowa that has come down over the last few minutes. We will get to that, I promise, coming up here in just a moment. 9663 asking, Mark, do you really think he is going to play any Division I college football in the future as far as Deacon Hill is concerned? And look, as I said yesterday, I don't want to bang on this kid because, he is a young man out there. And I truly believe there is going to be some Division I school out there, whether it's 1AA or, Division I FBS, that is going to take a chance on Deacon Hill. And maybe they've got the correct offense for him. Maybe the right fit out there is available. I don't know. He's got certainly a cannon for an arm. He's got some things to work on. We know that over the last year and a half watching Deacon Hill. But to me anyway, there is going to be somebody that is going to take a chance on him.
There will be perhaps a MAC school. I could be surprised. It depends on the fit. Whether Deacon Hill fits in a program at, 6'3", 255. That's a big guy who's not extremely mobile. He's a passer first and foremost, and up to this point, not a very accurate one. So I think some team will take a chance on him. if somebody has started 9 games in the Big Ten, that's valuable experience and could translate to another program.
Yeah. Somebody's going to take a flyer on him. Somebody is going to offer him. I really believe. And I hope he does well. I hope he does well. By all indications, and I think Mike Halas tweeted this out earlier today from the Gazette, that he said he has never come across a young man that basically took more slings and arrows and still stepped up and met up with the media, et cetera, than Deacon Hill. And that says a lot about that young man's personality.
Well, I appreciate Mike Halas's perspective. That's all well and good, but it comes down to production on the field. It says a lot about the quality of the individual, and that may be more important in the long run than anything else he ever does in his football career. So I respect that. But in terms of a football career, man, you got to produce.
True. 319-366-1600 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. 9168 out of the 563 area codes is Spencer Petras took the most heat. There have been a lot of guys that have taken a lot of heat in the Iowa offense over the last handful of years.
Well, probably all quarterbacks. I mean, at one time or another, you remember the battle with Rudock and Beathard. We debated it at the time, who's best for the program. Rudock went through the season. All of a sudden, C.J. Beathard's the quarterback going into the following fall, and Rudock says, I'm out of here, and ends up in Michigan. And he had a pretty good year. But Rudock was a lightning rod. Petras was a lightning rod. Deacon Hill was a lightning rod. Almost every quarterback whoever's has worn a collegiate uniform, especially in this case, Iowa, has had those arrows pointed at him.
Iowa is still too over the limit as far as scholarships are concerned. Did have the one of the backup tight ends, Vanderbush, out of Plainfield, Indiana. He went into the transfer portal today as well. I liked what he did on Saturday. He got a couple of nice passes, including one tiptoeing the sideline on Saturday. But I think it was just a situation where he got caught in the depth charts at the tight end spot and needed to go somewhere else to find some more playing time.
Yeah, I agree, especially with Hayden Large, the former fullback, getting some reps at tight end as well with, Lachey coming back and Ostringa, who I think sat out spring drills. But that's a deep room, and although he's just a freshman, Vanderbush felt he'd explore the waters, and that's okay. It's what players do these days.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Huge news. Let's transition from Iowa to Iowa State, Mark. Huge news coming down at the top of the hour as far as Iowa State in the transfer portal for basketball, men's basketball. Yesterday, Iowa State women picked up a portal transfer, one of the guards from Marquette, that is going to help the Cyclone women. They are looking good, but that is kind of small news to the news that just came out minutes ago. Joshua Jefferson, one of the top portal names in the country, has announced he is going to play for Iowa State. And if you recall Joshua Jefferson, he comes to Iowa State from St. Mary's, where he was a big part of that Gales team, can score, but more importantly, he is a defensive stopper in one of the best in the country. And already several, and you love these, Mark, the pre-20, top 25s or whatever, there are several that have moved Iowa State up to the number one spot in the country now. How about that?
Well, I think that number's 4 transfers now for Iowa State, maybe 5. I'm not quite sure, but 3 of them are big men. And I don't know a whole lot about Jefferson. You watched a whole lot more of West Coast basketball than I did. But But the measurables are excellent. 6'8" forward, 10 points, 6.5 rebounds a game, a defender. He did hurt his knee in February, and apparently he will recover fine from that. But Team Otts is at it again.
He did miss the tournament. As you mentioned, he had a knee injury, and that really crippled St. Mary's in that game against Grand Canyon in the first round. That was a bad matchup for St. Mary's. But this is, I'll tell you what, Iowa State basketball next year on the men's side and the women's side could be pretty epic. I mean, you're talking about what Iowa did over the last couple of years and their runs to the national championship game and the Final Four. There's still a lot to do, and a lot of things have to go right. Mark, you know that as well as I do, and our listeners know that. But what T.J. Otzelberger and Bill Fenley have put together for next year, that is, on paper, in late April, looks pretty good and pretty promising.
It does. It's always about chemistry, and Otzelberger has done very well in blending these transfers in with, four starters, frontline players, and Lipsy and Jones and Curtis Jones, that is, and Monsilovich, and I think one other. Mixing these transfers in with the veterans is a key component in terms of chemistry and execution. But Otzelberger is not going to go after anybody who he doesn't think will fit into that scheme.
Yeah. Cyclone Tim says Cyclone fans are excited for things to come. And I agree with you. I agree with you. You got to be excited. And JT Rock also redshirted last year, the kid from Sioux Falls, and 7'1", who can step outside and hit threes, can play with his back to the basket a little bit as well. After the redshirt campaign, after leaving high school early, I still haven't figured that one out, but whatever. That is another component for this Iowa State team next year. And with Jefferson coming, that was a huge get, an absolute huge get, because that was a need that Iowa State had. So we will see. 319-366-1600. And yes, Iowa State women also, they picked up a couple of portals, one from TCU and another from Marquette. So Bill Fenley and his troops are going to be set up and ready to go for next year. All right, let's get to Mark and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, they're across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock. You can find their full menu online. It's at emilshideaway.com, and they've got fresh burgers made every day, plus salads, pizza, pasta, soup, all kinds of great burgers, sandwiches, et cetera, at Emil's Hideaway. And what do we got today?
The Cedar Rapids Colonels return home tonight to begin a 13-game homestand, two-week homestand, starting with Beloit, Midwest League affiliate of Miami. Colonels trying to snap a three-game losing streak beginning tonight. Kansas City Chiefs, Scott, as you know, there's a new deal for head coach Andy Reid, who will reportedly sign a contract through 2029 as the highest paid coach in the NFL. Finally, there would appear to be some controversy at the quarterback position at Texas after the spring game. Arch Manning threw for 355 yards and three touchdowns in that spring game, but apparently the job is still incumbent Quinn Ewers' job. Ewers only played two series with the offense before giving way to Manning and other youngsters. But Manning showing very well in the spring game.
I think that's not going to end up well. One of those two is going to leave. That's just my gut feeling. I'm also still waiting to see how the quarterback room evolves in Ames with everybody kind of blended together there. We talked about Iowa has a gap of 3 years in their quarterback room. Iowa State has four guys within 2 years in that room, and they're all pretty good. So I want to see how that plays out as far as the portal is concerned. 3:29, we're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk to Cal Eldred, talk some Major League Baseball. Andrew's excited. I'm glad to see someone's excited about Major League Baseball. Hey, I am, but when your team is epically, historically awful, it's really hard to put a smile on your face talking baseball, but we're going to do it. When we come back, you're listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have some more sunshine this afternoon with temperatures still in the 60s and a bit of wind. We are going to have clear skies, though, tonight. The winds will back off and temperatures will drop down into the low to mid 30s. There will be the potential for some areas of frost by tomorrow morning. Then tomorrow we'll have plenty of sunshine, temperatures a little cool, closer to 60 degrees. We'll be back in the mid 60s on Thursday with storm chances increasing by Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, can I afford my son's travel hockey team? What if my daughter doesn't get that soccer scholarship? Will I be able to enjoy golf in retirement? At Empower, we know these questions can be stressful. We're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Start today at empower.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Just in time for grilling season, 1600 ESPN is giving you the chance to fill your freezer full of meat with our Meet and Greet contest. Today's winning code word is chicken, C-H-I-C-K-E-N, chicken. Enter it now at kgymradio.com for a chance to win $500 in meat. Plus, you'll also be entered for a chance at $5,000 as part of a national giveaway. Again, enter the word chicken at kgymradio.com right now for a chance to win.
Back with you at 3:33 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. I want to remind you that the Z102.9 Hold Your Horses Prom is coming up Saturday, May the 4th at the Doubletree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. That will be at 8 o'clock. You can get your tickets. They are on sale now for the 21 years of age and older event. You can pick those up and save $5 when you buy them at Theater Cedar Rapids Box Office or Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. That in Iowa City. Andrew, are you making an appearance?
Yes, yes.
Will you
be in
some sort of tuxedo?
No.
Okay. I was going to entice people to come and see Andrew in a tuxedo.
I was last year, but this year, no. This year, things are a little different, so I will not be in a tuxedo.
Okay.
And they need to come to the prom to see what I will be wearing.
All right, there you go. Yeah. That's incentive right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's incentive right there. All right. 319-366-1600. Scott, Mark back with you. Andrew, our producer here today, as we talk Major League Baseball. We do it every other Tuesday with our friend Cal Eldred, the former Major Leaguer and former Major League coach who joins us here on a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. How you doing, Cal?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Well, like I said,
I'm going to screw a smile on my face to talk baseball.
I understand where you're coming from there.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on this depressing subject, but there are experts now saying that this team could, I mean, they're already setting historically negative records, and they say this could be, if it plays out, maybe the worst baseball team of all time. We're talking about the Chicago White Sox.
Well, you know, you can look at it. I was trying to find something positive to talk about with your club, Scott. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard because they're last in so many offensive categories. They're near last in most of the central pitching categories. They have the by far the worst run differential in baseball right now. Almost double anyone else. And the Rockies have struggled, but they knew they were not going to be good. They knew that it was going to be a struggle. And just like, as a coach, we went through that in Kansas City knowing that there was going to be some really thin years. But this is really hard to take. I understand what it's like to go to the ballpark knowing that, you know, you're working with you've got a butter knife and the other team's got a machine gun. So it's a little tough, but the staff and front office, that this is what they put out there. The front office is giving them, and the injuries have killed them too. So you have to have Moncada in the lineup. You have to have Roberts in the lineup. Your pitching has to stay healthy. So they've had it all. I think it's as tough as it's going to be right now, Scott. So hang in there.
Cal, two teams expected to contend for a division title, perhaps still will. But I want to get your take on which team you're more concerned about, maybe be in trouble, the Twins or Astros?
Oof. You know, I had a list here, Mark, and both of those teams, both the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins, have made my better-than-their-record club. And obviously, the injuries that Minnesota has already had, they need Duran at the end of games. They need that right now. Houston needs, and Verlander threw really well. Their pitching has to step it up. Overall, the pitching has struggled for the Houston Astros. So I know offensively Houston is a juggernaut. I feel no one's going to run away from the Houston Astros. They could become a wild card team. I feel like Minnesota can still win the division because no one's going to run away with that American League Central. It's just more likely not going to happen. Cleveland's playing as good as they're going to play without Bieber at the top of the rotation. But I think both of these clubs, the Twins need health both ends of the diamond.
Astros go to Wrigley Field now, I think, for the first time in 11 years since 2013. And a lot of people are saying this is a pretty big early season series for Houston to try to get back in. They're only five games out. It's still very early. And they had a little bit of a slow start last year, if I recall, in 2023. But this, you know, I agree a little bit. This is a little bit of a wake-up call series, I think, for the Astros.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott. I have a few more concerns about Houston because of the pitching issue, and they've relied heavily on their pitching, even though they've had a great offense. And Altuve is playing as good as you can play right now. And so his numbers are as good as they've been for a while. So Minnesota, they need a little health in their lineup, in their everyday lineup, and they'll get it. They're eight games back in the win column from Cleveland, but with those other teams they're going to face a lot, they can make up some ground quick.
Cal, the Phillies have won seven in a row, playing very good baseball, but maybe pump the brakes a bit. Six of those seven have been against the Rockies and White Sox. So this is my pick to win it all. What do you make of the Phillies at this point?
Well, I think you made a smart pick, Mark. I don't care who they're playing. when good teams, and we've talked about this a couple times already this baseball season, when good teams take care of business against the teams that they should, then they can go through a 500 stretch or maybe just a little bit below against some of the better teams in the league and still be in a good position. Their pitching has been outstanding. I mean, their starting pitching has been second to none. And offensively, you know they're going to be there. They're a very, very good club. Of course, they're still a game back of Atlanta, and Atlanta's a really good club. So every time those two teams play, I try to get a chance to watch them because, you know, you heard Robbie Thompson. I heard him talk about their starting staff the other day and just how they mix and match. They don't rely on striking tons of people out. They get quick outs, and I know Suarez has been amazing for them. But they are pitchers. They're fun to watch pitch, and the top of that rotation has some pretty nasty stuff.
Should we be worried at all about the Los Angeles Dodgers? I say question mark on that because I believe they have the same record right now as they did last year, and they won well over 100 games. So they're still in first place in the National League West, but they've been kind of treading water as of late.
Yeah, I think their pitching has been the question mark for them. You've got Mookie Betts, whose numbers offensively are as good as they've ever been. And Otani, you know, I mean, both of those guys are going to, and Freeman, all three of those guys can be MVP candidates, and they have been, and they will be. So offensively, you just don't really worry about them. But pitching-wise, you know, when Glasnow pitches, they win. I mean, that's just how it works. So from a starting standpoint, they need some more consistency. And that's for them, that's going to be the key for them to get back to close to winning 100 games.
Cal, an Iowan named Colin Ray, who has been around the block, 33 years old, has given the Milwaukee Brewers a really nice start, 2-0, 2.18 ERA. This guy has been around with different teams. He's been injured. He's pitched in Japan. But right now, he's doing very well with Milwaukee. What do you make of the Cascade native?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I can't say enough good things about Colin. People understand he's from the Cascade area, and Colin has worked out in the same place over Dugout Sports with Mitch Keller and Keaton Wynn and CJ and the Vanscoy boys at times and Tyler Cropley. So he's been a part of that group there. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, watching how he works, preparing himself for the season, he is a guy who's pitched long enough. Like you said, Mark, he's been around. He knows who he is. He knows how to get people out. He knows that he has to command each and every one of his pitches. And he knows hitters. And so he's putting his experience to use. And it's fun to watch him pitch. He's not going to overpower anybody. But he fits in that Milwaukee staff. And you know, you got to give Milwaukee credit because offensively, they keep coming at you. And so it's a fun team to watch. I know with Miley getting hurt, that's going to, you know, could be a little bump in the road for him. But I'm going to tell you, if people back here don't know who Colin is, get to know him, pick out a game that he's pitching for the Brewers, watch him and appreciate another kid from Iowa having a great time in the big leagues.
And the last throwback to the UNI baseball program was Colin Ray. Cal Elder joining us here at 3:43 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. And, hey, look, the American League East is all over 500. That didn't take very long to have, I think, the best division in baseball, again, show exactly their muster so far.
Yeah, you know, guys, we're not really used to seeing the Tampa Bay Rays being 500 and being in last place four games out. Their entire pitching staff, especially their starting rotation, has been devastated. And for them to be 12-12 right now in that division is actually not too bad. But, man, if you guys get a chance to watch Baltimore play, you know, Scott, I know that's your team. You know, we're smart and grabbing that hold of that team. They're young. They're energetic. Another guy that I've got to coach and be around is Ryan O'Hearn. He's having a great year for them. Obviously, the youngster Holiday that I've seen, known since he was just getting out of a stroller. He's fun to watch. The Yankees pitching has been outstanding. Boston hangs in there. I had Toronto as a team that I think they're better than their record. So this is a fun division to watch. You want to see some good pitching, you want to see some good baseball, you do watch the American League East.
Cal, if you were commissioner of baseball, what could you or would you do about umpires? Every time Angel Hernandez gets behind the plate, it's a disaster. We saw Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, get run after five pitches when Hunter Windelstadt mistook him saying something after he's warned. It was somebody in the stands. There are other instances. I know these guys get docked and don't get postseason assignments in some cases, but, you know, a pitcher can throw a hitter and get a suspension and a variety of other things. But what about umpires?
Well, this is interesting. A couple weekends ago, I was able to listen to Larry Young, who is a former major league umpire who actually is still works for MLB and overseeing umpires. And he had quite a few interesting things to say. I know, one, there's a lot of pressure on major league umpires. And I think sometimes you see young guys coming in and they're trying to set their precedent, you know, so trying to not necessarily make a name for themselves, but fit in right away. And then you don't see umpiring very good. I think the grading, I think sometimes the grading, how they grade them, is interesting to me. You can miss quite a few pitches and still be graded pretty good. But I think, Mark, the thing that irritates me is just how, like, the conduct, the situation with Aaron Boone. I mean, that was just wrong. But Hunter was not going to – he was right. You know, in his mind, he's right. He's not going to change his mind. That's something that could easily be handled and taken care of. I know umpires want 100%. They want the review system. They like that system a lot. And Larry was talking about it. He said that the automatic strike zone's coming and the umpires want it. So, but I do think, to your point, there needs to be either some suspensions, when things like what happened with Hunter and Aaron Boone happen. Therefore, umpires, they think twice about what they do. It's the same thing when managers send pitchers out there and feel like somebody needs to be knocked down on the other team. They know that they could lose that pitcher for 10 days. Players going into bases too hard, running over a catcher at home plate. There's suspensions. So players and managers and coaches have to deal with that. Why not umpires? I completely agree.
I would agree with that too. And maybe Hunter, obviously a legacy with his dad being a longtime major league umpire back in the days when, you know, you had the Doug Harveys and people like that. They called him God for a reason. And, umpires ruled the roost back then. And maybe he's still living in that era. I don't know. That's kind of the way it came across to me yesterday.
Yeah, I agree, Scott. And they can continue to do that. Umpires can continue to do that until they do what Mark is suggesting and hopefully have some sort of suspensions. It's not just about not being able to umpire in the playoffs. It's just that's not enough to keep umpires on their toes. And so with all this said, I do understand that umpires get killed on social media. They get crucified. And so that's a tough one too. And gambling has become such a big deal in baseball that, you know, sometimes umpires are concerned about that they make a call and it changes a score or a strike or whatever, or a strike ball, and that puts pressure on them too. But you still have to have some sort of accountability when you do step over the line.
Cal, what would you like to see happen in Duane Banks Field, home of the University of Iowa Hawkeyes? I know the university cut back its original plan for that particular facility. And you've been a big benefactor of the program between the lights and so many other things. But what does that facility need? And, you know, what can be done about it?
Well, I think that it's a situation that the university needs to look at and see if there's a better use for that area where the field is actually at, and do they need to move locations? If not, and they need to stay there, then I just think that the facilities for, you know, for the fans and the players and the coaches, it needs to get better. And because there's just a lot of competition when it comes to, you know, Rick Heller and his staff trying to get good players to attend the University of Iowa. Now, obviously, there's no other Division I program in the state of Iowa, so if there's good kids from Iowa, they should be pulling them in. But these kids are still seen all over the country, and you see kids going to, you know, Louisville. You see kids going to Ole Miss. So, you know, Kentucky. So my own son went to Dallas Baptist. So it's something that and it's not just about recruiting players. It's not just about comfort. But boy, when you have a facility and it becomes new, I look at what Indiana did, Michigan did it. Some of the local areas, Creighton's had a better place to play. I'm just telling you, it makes it easier to get better players to come to that program. And you know what? It's the only Division I program in Iowa. So hopefully they can get something figured out. And there's a long history of Iowa baseball, and a lot of people have really enjoyed it and benefited from it. And I hope that can continue.
Iowa in action tonight. They host Milwaukee at 6:05 at Dwayne Banks Field before heading to Lincoln for a big series this weekend against Nebraska. You mentioned you got lists there, Cal. Do you want to let us know what your lists look like?
Well, I look at teams and I just sometimes I think what's the problem? And right now, if the season ended, I always go to the wild card and see who's going to make the playoffs. What would happen right now? Is this what we thought it was going to be? And, you know, another thing on my list is, guys, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they're just not playing very well. But they're doing okay. They're hanging in games. But because Seawald, their closer's hurt, man, they've lost a lot of close games. And I know they're only two games out, but part of that is because the Dodgers haven't been on the freight train that we thought they would be on. And, you know, we don't talk much about the Padres. And the Padres are, you know, they're kind of floating around between those two clubs. But, and, you know, another team I feel in that division is San Francisco that should be a better team than what their schedule or what their record is. And guys, I know I'm talking to a lot of Cardinal fans around here. Man, they just have to play better on all facets, and get Newt Barr back in the lineup is going to help too. So those are kind of some of the things that I look at. And, you know, guys, I'm going to have to do some homework and watch the Washington Nationals play a little more. I know you're going, say what? but I'm going to tell you, their pitching's been outstanding. And so it's something that offensively they need some help, but I'm always up for watching good pitching. So that's something that out there, something a lot of our fans in this area may not know much about, but that's something that I would be interested in doing.
And I'm glad you didn't reach for your lovely wife's list to tidy up the office and service the vehicles and whatnot.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, guys. Something happened today. My wife came into my office, Mark. It's funny you say that. She can't stand my desk, and she cleaned it up. I didn't even know my desk was made of wood. So it is spotless, and she came out of this room and she looked at me and she said, that desk is going to stay that way. So yeah, Mark, you know, you're right. There is that list, but I always keep trying to put that on page two. keep the baseball fun on page one and hunting on page 1.5. So she takes care of this home extremely well and has for years, and I'm a benefactor, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Cal, appreciate all the insight. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the baseball, and we'll see you then.
You bet. Hang in there, Sox fans. It'll be all right.
I don't know. It can't get a whole lot worse than 3-19. But
you're right.
There you go. And shut out 7 times, but we're not talking about that. Thanks, Cal.
You bet.
3:54. We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll wrap things up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right after this.
You ever have one of those days when you just couldn't come up with the right answer? Well, I know one answer that pretty much solves all problems. Ice cream. Yeah, it's the answer to everything, right? And right now, at Quickstar, our rich, creamy, straight from our dairy, Nature's Touch 1-gallon pails of ice cream are just $4.99. Yeah, now that's an answer worth digging into. Come on, be a problem solver. Bring home some fresh, delicious Nature's Touch ice cream. Only from Quickstar.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Guys, let's get real about your hair loss. How long have you been wearing a hat, hiding thinning hair, or a rapidly growing bald spot? Just stop it. You're not a 12-year-old little leaguer, you're a grown man. It's time to take action. Let the hat go and get your real hair back permanently with Bosley. You heard that right. Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. And right now, Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone that texts Phil to 200-300. Plus, text right now and get a link to this month's incredible deals. Join the millions of people who come to Bosley and see just how awesome your hair could look. Text Phil to 200-300 for your absolutely free information kit and a free $250 gift card off, plus a special link to incredible deals. Text Phil to 200-300 now. Text Phil to 200-300.
Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports is up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and then we've got NBA basketball coming away at 6. Game 2 from up at the Target Center in Minneapolis. It'll be the Timberwolves hosting the Phoenix Suns. Minnesota winning Game 1 back on Saturday. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk golf with you. It'll be Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. Our friend Brian Haas will join us. He's got a special guest lined up for tomorrow as well. And looking forward to talking some golf. If you have a question about your game, go ahead and get it ready to go and text it into us tomorrow. And we'll get that answered with Brian. And good stuff, Mark from Cal, as always. Good insight right there.
It always is. And such a pleasant guy and very knowledgeable, obviously, about baseball. And I know a lot of listeners appreciate that segment. And by the way, Brian had, I don't know if you noticed, he had a very good tournament over in Ames yesterday. Look into it.
I will look into it. We'll ask him about it coming up tomorrow. And we got NBA basketball, as I mentioned, coming up tonight, right after Spencer on Sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Andrew, thank you to you, and thanks to everybody for tuning in. Mark, we will talk with you coming up tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, KGYM.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.